for your courtesy and for your appreciation and respect of Dr. Shirosh, I'm going to ask him if he would come and make his reply, please, to what Mr. Didat has said. Thank you.
What a delightful bunch you are, and what a joy it is to stand before you and make replies to my friend, Mr. Didat. Concerning the statement about Jesus saying he was God, I first call your attention to John 13, 13. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Remember, please, if the Queen of England walks in here, she does not have to tell you she is the Queen. Jesus did not have to tell you every time he did something, he was God. When he answered Philip, he said, "You say, show us the Father and it's sufficient. I have been with you so long, and you don't know? He who has seen me has seen the Father." Our brother quoted another verse which has the same idea. As to our brother's remarks about the book of Revelation, did not the prophet and the prophets have also dreams? Did not God reveal himself to them in dreams and visions? He speaks through visions and dreams. And it does not come because your stomach is full or empty, but God chooses to do so. And if he chooses to do so, it is so. I also like to remind you of something else. As far as the Trinity is concerned, I think the problem with our Muslim friends is that they don't realize we are just as much against the Trinity of the days of the Arab worlds coming into historical position as they are. You see, there was a group of heretics who from paganism came to Christianity, and they thought of Mary as the Queen of Heaven. God married her and Jesus was born. For God's sake, get this through your mind. Jesus was not the Son of God as a man who was born through a sexual experience. It is a spiritual title. He came because he loves you. Be patient to the end, please. The Marianists, therefore, are just as wrong as others are wrong. Our faith in the Trinity is in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Doesn't it amaze you that in the 99 excellent names of God in the Quran, not one is love, not one is Father, and we are not given the idea that God is a dictator and we are to be his slaves, but God is a Father who wants you and me and the whole world to be his sons. Please, would you hold on to clapping? Don't clap, please, don't disturb us. How did Miriam conceive of the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? An angel called Gabriel? Let me challenge you. 75% of the wonderful Quran in my wonderful language of Arabic is from the Bible. And I would urge you to look into the Bible and find out where these sources are. And the blessing of knowing this God who loves you and me, and much like ants trying to go from this point to the other and cannot, you come by and you say, "Wait a minute, let me show them the right way. For it is a way that seems right unto man, but the way ends in destruction." So you say, "I will help them." You try to show them the way, you push the nose of this one and the tail of the other, but they keep going back to their old way. So you say, "I think the only way is either I become an ant or they become human." Now bear in mind that they cannot become human because they don't have the power. And suppose you have the power to become an ant. Now tell me, when you become an ant, can you show them the better way? Can you show them as-sirat al-mustaqim, the right way? And I answer you by saying, not on your life. Because once you become a man, as a man you become an ant, and once you become an ant, you end up being just like the ants. Therefore, Jesus, God in human flesh, came and he kept the man. He is man. He ate as a man. He slept as a man. He was tired as a man, but he also used the title, the Son of Man, to identify himself with you and me. For you answer this question for me. How in the world are you going to pay for your sins? How in the world are you going to be justified? Our brother quoted Job, and he misquoted the word. The word says, very clearly, how can a man be justified? That means made right in the sight of God. And nobody can become right in the sight of God without redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who said, I have come that you may have life. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from every sin. Please remember that when the angel announced the Holy One to Mary, that will be born of you, will be called the Son, listen, of the Most High God. Are you telling me the angel was lying? The Lord was making a mistake? He loves mystery, that. He loves you. And he pleads with you tonight and says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. Because salvation is not for the Muslims or the Jews or the others. It's for all of us. God loves us. He became a son, and as son became man, so we as men can become the sons of God, because he cares. As for the statement, my father, his self-imposed limitation caused him to say that. And I like to say to you, when he said, I and the Father are one, he demonstrated that so evidently. And remember, please, God of God, and whether the Anglican bishops agree or not, let God be true and every man a liar. They need to repent of their ways and trust the living word of God and experience revival across this nation and stop wickedness, vileness, and turn away from their ways to follow the Lord. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Lismi Yeshua Hallelu. Lismi Yeshua Hallelu. لتجود الأملاك إكليل ملك كليل رب الجميع ذاك إكليل ملك كليل رب الجميع ذاك. I invite you one and all to discover the truth, which is, God in Christ wants to reconcile the world unto himself. For a true Muslim will become a true Muslim, and a true Christian can become true Christian when he accepts the gift of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Please remember, as far as the wonderful truth of God, the term he asked is the word begotten. I conclude with a reminder. Monogenes para patras is the term. That's the Greek. Which is the only Son of God of this kind. In other words, he is the only one of God who came to demonstrate the love of God and no one else. Thank you for the joy of being with you. And may the love of God bring us to him who is eternal love, eternal God, and in Christ says, come, I will give you rest. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And now, Mr. Didat. Quiet, please. Thank you very much. Now, Mr. Didat will make his reply as well. Thank you, sir.
beginning with John, chapter 15, verse 30, as quoted by my brother Sharosh, where Jesus, in answering Philip, he says, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father," which by reasoning, the Christian thinks that Jesus is the Father. But if we look at it in its context again, there are a series of misunderstandings from the very word go. Chapter 14 begins with a misunderstanding, and the misunderstanding of the disciple continues. Chapter 14, it says, Jesus is telling his disciples, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." You know where I'm going, and you know how to get there. So the disciples say, "Master, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" They misunderstood. Jesus was speaking about spiritual journey. They are thinking of geographical locations, like Dundee, Newcastle, where? Southampton. He's talking about God and going to God. So Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." This was too heavy for them. They couldn't follow what he's talking about. So he says, "Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. It will be enough. Just show us God. We want to see God with our bodily eyes, and that will be our satisfaction enough." In answer to that, Jesus says, "Philip, you have been with me for so long. You are a Jew. As a Jew, you ought to know better than that, that no man can see God and live. God is not seen at any time. And you, being with me for 3 years, you still haven't understood my mission. You want to see God with your physical eyes when you can't even look at the sun. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Meaning, if you understood me, you would understand what God is. And this is the language he's speaking ever and anon. He says, "Seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." This seeing is not physical seeing. If you understood what I am, you would have understood what God is. You wouldn't make such a silly request. He is not claiming to be the Father. I would like to know, who has heard this verse? For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Have you heard that before? Have you heard that? Do you read this in your Bible? Do you? Yes. Yes. No, my brother says he does read it. You know, you don't read it in the Bible? It's not there? It is there. Yes. And amazing that... Yes, yes. For there are three, I'm quoting, First Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 7. Where it says, First Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 7, where it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word," meaning Jesus, "and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." It's there. In your Bible, sir? Here is the Holy Bible. You see, this verse I quoted you now is to be found in the Roman Catholic version of the Bible. It is to be found in the Authorized King James version of the Bible. It's there. But it has now been thrown out of the Revised Standard version of the Bible as a fabrication. The verse on the Trinity It is thrown out as a fabrication. All modern translations of the Bible do not have that verse anymore. This is thrown out not by Muslim scholars, Jewish scholars, or Hindu scholars, but 32 scholars of the highest eminence, backed by 50 cooperating denominations. They found that this was a fabrication, and as a fabrication they threw it out. Similarly, the Ascension. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find Ascension twice, that Jesus ascended into heaven. Chapter 16, verse 19, and Jesus was taken up into heaven. Luke, chapter 24, verse 51, and Jesus was taken up into heaven. Only two places in the Gospels is the Ascension mentioned. My brother quoted from the Acts, The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the ascension is mentioned only in two places. And those two places also in the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, they have also been thrown out as fabrications. Yeah. Revised Standard Version of the Bible. The fact that, you know, the word Father does not occur in the Holy Quran is made a point of. You know, we are given 99 attributes of God Almighty. But Father is not one of them. And Father in Arabic is easier than the word Rabb. You see, Abb in Arabic means Father. Abb. We read again and again in the Quran, Rabbul Alameen, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Rabb, 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 Lord, Cherisher, Sustainer, Evolver, Rabb, not Abb. Why not? Because of this misconception. There are millions of people on earth who are taking this thing physically, that this Father in heaven begot a son. And begetting is an animal act. It belongs to the lower animal functions of sex. So this word is eschewed. It's taken out, never used, simply because there are people like my brother's son. His brother. His son in the book, he quotes his son, Salam, Salam, in the book. And Salam says that, you know, after my brother Shurush came out of the bath and pulled the plug and the water went out, he said, now he knows how rain comes about. But how? He says, you see, when Jesus has a bath in heaven, and when he pulls the plug, you know, all the water comes down and we have thunderstorms here. And for that, the young man was given a hug and a kiss. You see, now that concept carries on. You are having an idea that God Almighty also is there somewhere in the heavens doing something similar. So, because of these anthropomorphic concepts which have been conveyed in Islam, all these attributes where you might have some types of sicknesses creeping in, eschew such words, these are not befitting the majesty of God, that God begets a son, or he is the Father in heaven, the loving Father, which goes and kills his own son for the sins of mankind. He can't rectify you, your mistakes, you commit sin, and he kills his own son. I'm asking, is that love? Somebody steals, you know, murders your wife, your child, raise your daughter, and now you can do nothing, you are utterly helpless. So what you do? You go and kill your own son, and you call that love. You say, now this is the wrong concept of justice and ethics. You see, if you have the right concept, your behavior will come right. There was a time in America, 60% of the people, they spoke against premarital sex. But since 1975, Brother Shorosh, you know, in his book, you must buy this book, The Liberated Palestinian. He says, he is walking with a girl on each arm. And a southern Bella, Bella means a beautiful woman, invites Shorosh to her house for a weekend. And he goes with her to her house for a weekend. This is the Bible, this is the book. For the weekend, and the father of the girl is waiting with a gun. When he reaches up to the porch, he's waiting with a gun, and doctor makes a hasty retreat. I said, now, since then, when you are portraying things, morality like that, what happens is that 61% of the people, latest statistics in America, they are now in favor of premarital sex. So, I said, look, I'm told that religion, Christianity is not a religion, but it is a relationship. So we said, look, without this religion, if you don't listen to Jesus, he said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. So, my dear brothers, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I know this is a vast subject and we can carry on endlessly, but I respect the chairman's notice that my time has expired. Thank you very much indeed.
Now, we are extremely grateful for your keen interest. Obviously, we're all starting to participate in this because we have well over 200 questions. What we're going to do is we're going to pour them going to pull them behind me. Now, some of these are going to be written in a language that I'm going to struggle with, and therefore, when that happens, I'm going to pass them to the experts to translate and answer their questions. I'm also going to try to make sure that the questions are as evenly balanced as possible. Now, the first question is, and it's addressed to Mr. Dudat, why did Jesus allow Thomas to kneel at his feet and say to him, "My Lord and my God"? And sir, on these questions, at 1 minute I will tap you, and at 2 minutes I will be on my feet. Thank you. Why did Jesus allow Thomas to say, "My Lord and my God"?
Because Thomas, when Jesus went to that upper room for the very first time, Thomas was not there. And Jesus has demonstrated to his disciples that he was the same person eating food, broiled fish and honeycomb. And the disciples testified to Thomas when he comes along and meets them and says, "Look, the master was here. He ate food with us." So Thomas says, "Except I put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into side, I will not believe that Jesus is physically, he was with us." That he was, if they told him that he was a spirit, a ghost, a spook, he would have believed. Because people believed in spooks and ghosts those days far more readily than anything else. So Jesus, when he comes along the second time to that upper room, Thomas is there, and he tells Thomas, "Reach hither thy hand, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and put your hand into my side, and don't be faithless." So Thomas realizes, the doubting Thomas that he was, what a heel he was, that all the disciples are testifying that the master was there, that he's alive, and he's eating broiled fish and honeycomb, and he couldn't believe, he wanted to do this, and he wanted to do that, so come on, do it now and see. So he realizes that he was a fool. So he says, "My Lord, my God." What, he was calling Jesus his God and Lord? No, this is an exclamation which people do when you are caught out of the "my God." He says, "Anis, my God, how could you quote me a Quran? You know, this verse is not in the Quran." I say, "Anis, my God." Do I mean Anis is my God? No, this is a figure of speech and expression.
Thank you. The next question is prefaced in the name of Allah, "Did Jesus pray? If so, why does an all-perfect claim by, that's a claim by Christians, the questioner says, why does an all-perfect God need to pray, and to who did Jesus pray?" Dr. Shirosh.
Beloved friends, how lovely it is to be with you. And I'd like to think, our brother, I trust we will have another occasion to share the same platform together. And perhaps I could even suggest a topic like he suggested the topic. The answer to the question. One of the difficulties apparently some of you are having is your God is too small. God is big enough to come down to say to you, "I love you." Can you understand that much? God is love. And as such, he comes in the form of a man, a perfect man at that, conquering every sin, never sinning, and as man representing you, he was praying to the Heavenly Father. Remember, as he was mentioning about while Jesus was on the cross, he was saying, "Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani." I'm sure you recognize he was using the Arabic, but Jesus was not speaking Arabic. He was saying simply, my God, why did you forsake me?" And when Jesus died, God does not die. His body died. He forever lives. Please remember that. So he was speaking to the Heavenly Father.
Thank you. I'm afraid there are no supplementaries because I'm getting 300 at the same time. So we are going to continue with the next question. Remember, I'm going to ask for quiet. I'm going to ask for quiet, sir, or you will be ejected from this meeting. If the
person to whom the question is addressed does not answer the question, then it is for him a defect and an advantage to his opponent. And therefore, we will not address ourselves to those kind of issues. The next question is for Mr. Didat. A quotation, "I and the Father are one." In the Greek, the word one is neuter, denoting one in essence and one in nature, not just one in purpose. Mr. Didat, would you like to comment?
This one in Greek is hen, H-E-N, hen. Hen, one. Now, the same word hen is used in John chapter 17, where Jesus is speaking to God Almighty. He says, "I am one with you, and you with me, and the disciples with me, I in thee, and thou in me, we are all one." Hen, same hen. So now, if this one makes one in that bodily form like a sausage, one becomes like a sausage with God, or Jesus becomes one with God as a sausage, because he said this is one means one. Like Adam and Eve, the Bible says that they twain shall be one flesh, one. Sausage? No. In purpose, same word in Greek, hen. The same word in Greek, hen, for the disciples, including Thomas and Judas. All of them, we are one with you, I with you, God Almighty, and you with me, they are one with me, and I in them. Now that oneness, I'm asking, what oneness? Same hen in Greek. Does it mean that they all became a sausage? All the 12 disciples and the traitor Judas and with God and Jesus become a sausage? No. This one is in purpose and not in body or power or omnipotent or omniscience.
The Dr. Shirosh, what do you mean by the statement, "Jesus is Son of God"? The questioner wants to say, with my full respect, do you mean Jesus is direct Son of God, Son of the God, as I am the Son of my Father? Or do you have another meaning? Would you please explain?
If you would please remember that it is a spiritual title. God never married anybody. God is a triune God. And I'd like to urge you to consider that when we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we see the Trinity 113 times in the Quran, like the Bible says, Bismillah wal ibn wa ruh al-Qudus. We must love one another. We must recognize the truth of God in Christ, reconciling you to Himself. Thank you.
Could you please explain how God could save the world? Could you please explain how God could save the world, as the New Testament claims, if Jesus was not God coming in the flesh?
Let me first correct my brother Shirosh about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You see, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim means in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Allah. Allah who is most gracious, most merciful. And he's those God's 99 attributes. That is Allah. He's not 99 God. He's not 3-in-1. Whereas the Christian formula is in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Three. How does God save the world? That was the question. How does He save? There is only one way. And the way is, believe in God and do good deeds. This is what Jesus said. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, most assuredly I am telling you, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Unless you are better than the Jew, there is no heaven for you. That is the way of salvation.
Now, Mr. Vedant has concluded that comment on a very positive statement. I'm going to...